Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and all of the above. And as always, we want to thank you for listening to the Zurian Show. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that I think is kind of near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. It's their privacy. It's their ability to do things and to not be judged, ridiculed, accused, all of the above. It's their right to have privacy. It's their right to have self-respect and to be able to maintain their dignity and to also maintain their trust, honesty, and all of those other things without somebody prejudging or interfering or entering into their public and private lives, mostly their private lives. Most of us live a regular life. You know, we're not celebrities, we're not congressmen, we're not, you know, personalities that get a lot of attention. Most of us go through our days, and our days are pretty mundane. However, most of us, almost all of us, I'd say more than 97% of the world, just want to be left alone. We want to be able to do what we do as long as we're not hurting anybody or destroying anything or putting anybody at risk, because we are all consenting adults. And we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. Well, recently I've come across quite a few disturbing things, and I've seen them, you know, throughout my lifetime, and they've been happening long before I was even born, and they'll happen long after I'm gone. However, the privacy in the workplace, privacy in your home, privacy, you know, as you conduct your business, privacy violations in the sense of how the government treats you, privacy in the sense of, you know, how different entities for national security, things along that nature, because of a lot of the events in the world, they've changed the game, so to speak. And now, because of the way that, let's say, our Constitution and things like that were written, they weren't really prepared or geared for the world that we live in today. Because the world that we live in today is a lot more fast-paced, a lot more things are going on that affect us, and a lot more things that are going to play into our day-to-day world. You know, our forefathers, or should I say the forefathers that wrote the Constitution, they didn't know anything about cyber crimes. They didn't know anything about computers and information systems and Facebook and LinkedIn. And all these other different things, LinkedIn and Twitter and, you know, cameras that are so small they can fit into a cell phone, or, you know, I spy, secret agent stuff. That stuff didn't exist when they were there, so it wasn't something that they had to contend with. And if they had had to, I'm sure that they would have done a mightily good job at handling it. But, again, that was then and this is now. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not advocating that you lose your mind or any of the above, but I am advocating that you stand up for your rights, that you do not let, you know, business, your employer, or anyone else enter into your life in a sense to where they are going to violate your rights. Now, I'm not saying that businesses do not have the right to protect themselves and to protect their clients and customers. They have every right to do so. However, some entities are taking this to the next level, way beyond the next level, and a lot of them are breaking the law. Now, the law may be a little shaky. However, you need to hold these particular companies' feet to the fire. You need to make sure that they understand that they are not going to violate you. All right, one of the, I read quite a bit, and I follow a lot of very historical and actually monumental business leaders throughout history and throughout the world. You know, Dale Carnegie, a lot of people that have done some really impressive things and are sometimes considered what you would call the fathers of, you know, industry. And again, these fathers of industry, they didn't really have to deal with a lot of the things that we have to deal with now. You know, and I understand that for a lot of businesses and things like that, it's challenging, you know, but understand that there are laws and amendments out there, and we need to make sure that we hold, again, those people who believe that they govern us accountable. And understand, too, that just as your company has rights, you have rights. And those rights should not be violated for any business, because a business is a means of earning an income and earning a living. It is not a governing factor. You have places that think that they can just search you. Well, they can't just search you. The only person that can truly search you is a federal or a law enforcement officer. And then that law enforcement officer is supposed to have probable cause to search you. If they want to come into your home, if they want to go into your car, which is on a public road or a state or local municipality road, they need probable cause to pull you over, reasonable suspicion to do a certain thing. When you walk into a building, that doesn't mean that the person has the right to search you, all right? Again, they have to have probable cause. Nobody has a right to put a hand on you unless they have a justified reason. Businesses, you need to really protect yourself, because a lot of businesses are under the belief that they have powers that they don't have, that they have authority that they don't have. If you place your hands on someone and that person feels as though they're in a threat, they have every right to defend themselves. A threat may not be the position in which you're trying to display or to give this person. However, if that's what they feel, then now it becomes an argument between yourself and a lawyer. You know, there's different understandings of privacy and what levels of privacy. You've got some businesses now where they have cameras in the bathrooms, in the locker rooms. You know, you have some businesses now where they monitor your email and your phone participation and all of that. And again, I understand that a lot of these things are necessary in the sense of monitoring your email. Email does not belong to you, ladies and gentlemen. It belongs to your company. All right, and if your company is providing a service and that service is provided by another entity, it's that company's duty to try to protect that company, that entity, that government, whatever, its business, by monitoring your stuff, especially if you're threatening the company and threatening the livelihood of all of the other people that you work with. However, there's a certain point. Monitoring phone calls. If you're being told that the phone call is for business use only and that you are providing a service and those calls are monitored, then you expect to be monitored. But again, some of it is a mutual respect. Also, if you're making a personal call on a phone that you shouldn't be, again, there are certain things that should be extended to you. One, your company, to protect itself, should have very clear policies. Now, mind you, a overall general policy may be enough. It may not be enough. You would have to contact your lawyer, the company's lawyer, and make sure that you're not violating any laws. Also, please understand that different states interpret different laws different ways, different counties, different cities, different municipalities, and different entities as a whole. So you have to look at the big picture. And we're talking about, again, email, privacy. A company does not necessarily have the right to go through somebody's bag. However, they can go through your desk. The desk is not your desk. The desk belongs to the company. The company is providing the desk. You're just sitting at the desk. You're in the company's space. But in most cases, even that, it's not the company's space. Most cases, the company doesn't own the building. The company is a renter of the building. The company is renting the building for whatever use. So the building isn't even theirs, but the desk may be, all right? So there's different laws, and there's also laws that you need to look at in the sense of, let's say you work for a government agency. Well, if the material was bought by the government agency, is that now open that particular item up to search? Again, that's something that you'll have to deal with your lawyer or with legal authorities to understand the nuances of that. My main thing here is that I need people to understand that a lot of things that we do, a lot of practices, you know, you've got the Privacy Act of 1974, but a lot of the things that we do which is in maintaining individual records, is a perception, not really a practice. So since these things are a perception, then people believe that they have certain rights. People believe that they have certain powers in which they can do certain things. But a lot of times, that belief is not real. A lot of times, that thought that they have in which they can invade your privacy or violate your constitutional rights, like the Fourth Amendment, you know, illegal search and seizure, a lot of companies and a lot of entities do not have. Again, the only people that can truly stop you is law enforcement. If a company has an employee that they feel is violating some particular law, they need to call the local authorities. The local authorities can stop that person. Now, if you see a person doing a crime, you see the crime, and you see the person's going to do somebody harm, then as a civilian, you have certain powers where you can stop that person or you can, you know, prevent that person from causing harm to other people. But you better make sure, you better guarantee, I mean, have a pretty good understanding that that person is violating a law or violating someone else's rights. Because if you're wrong, the penalties can be severe. And the penalties can be so severe that you could lose everything that you own. Employees, understand that you are an employee. And also understand that as an employee, your acts and actions reflect on your company because you're acting as a member of that company, be it a supervisor or what have you. Please also understand this. Ladies and gentlemen, most companies have a lot of rules, regulations, and procedures. Here's the kicker. Are they legal? Are they enforceable? Do they protect you? If you're a supervisor or a manager, this was a course that I recently took, and as a supervisor or a manager, do you have the right to do certain things? In a lot of cases, you do not. And also understand this. If you do something on behalf of your company and the employee or the person or their family sues the company, do you know, manager or supervisor, that that individual or that body or that entity can also sue you individually in the same lawsuit? So they can take up a lawsuit against not only the company for, let's say, wrongful termination or what have you. They can also take up another suit against the manager, the supervisor, the vice president, the president, and all of these other people. And here's the kicker. In a lot of cases, I'm not going to say all, but in a lot of cases, that lawsuit is your individual personal lawsuit. That lawsuit is something that you, as that supervisor, manager, or what have you, are going to have to handle on your own. Why? Because the lawsuit, the reason that the company can't protect you is because it's a conflict of interest. Why? Because the person or persons are saying that you did 1, 2, and 3. The company is saying that you did 1, 2, and 3. But if the person is saying that you did something and that was wrong, and the company saying that they terminated you or whatever happened was because you did it, that is a conflict of interest. I know it sounds a little complicated, but it's a conflict of interest. The company cannot protect you because basically you're being sued by that person because they're saying that you did something wrong, which the company is saying that you did do. That's why they terminated you. But however, you no longer have a job, or the other person no longer has a job. So, also understand this, and I know we're talking about privacy, but this is just a little, you know, this is some knowledge I came across, and I'd like to share it. You can check it out yourself. You don't have to take what I say for the gospel, because I am not a lawyer, nor do I pretend to be. But most suits, I believe it's more than 65 pursuits where a person sues a company, the companies lose. So if the company loses, then that means you lost. So if the company's got to pay, then that means you may have to pay. Understand that, on average, most individual suits, and again, I'm getting this from courses that I took by lawyers, most individual suits, they're going to run you somewhere between $25,000 and $60,000. I don't know about you, but most of us don't have $25,000 or $60,000 to basically dismiss off because we were trying to do something for our company, and we were found to have not done the correct thing. So So it's something that you need to take into consideration. The company is protected by their lawyers. The company is protected by the money that they have in place. But most companies do not have a slush fund. All right, they do not have a pocket fund to protect the managers and supervisors that may be individually sued for the actions in which they took. And in some cases, it could be a misunderstanding between the supervisor or manager believing that a certain policy was enforceable or believing that a certain practice was enforceable, and it is not. And you have now violated that person's rights. And that goes on all spectrums when you're talking about somebody's job. So all I'm saying is that anybody, companies, employees, supervisors, managers, vice presidents, presidents, whatever, you need to be aware that you can be put at risk and you can be putting your company at risk based on the actions that you take supposedly on behalf of the company. And also in that, there's temperament. Your intentions may be perfect. They may be just fine. However, the intent or the perceived intent may be taken out of context. And if that perceived intent is taken out of context, you can also be held liable. Many years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Ford Motor Companies. Well, the gentleman that owned Ford, he was one of the earlier people that kind of violated things. He kind of went a little bit off to the left. And what he started doing was he started monitoring his employees. He wanted to monitor when they went to work, how they went to work, what they did when they were at work, what they did in their homes. He violated their privacy. However, the laws were not as stringent, and the devices that we have now weren't as intense. Right now, you can go online and you can look at, there's a slew of different lawsuits that talk about privacy violations, that talk about workplace violations, that talk about, you know, employers violating the trust of their employees. And understand that once you do that, ladies and gentlemen, bad news lasts forever. Good news lasts maybe a couple of hours. So we all need to be very, very careful in how we understand this. Again, you can go online, you can Google privacy in the workplace, and you will find a number, a large number of different suits and past suits and things like that that have transpired with different people. You can also go online and look at workplace privacy and laws. You can go online and look at workplace privacy monitoring, privacy rights, things along that nature. You can also go to the Privacy Rights Clearinghouse. There is a ton, oh my goodness, a ton of information on there. It talks about computer monitoring, phone monitoring, electronic mail, voicemail, physical monitoring, social media monitoring, video monitoring, workplace protections, all of these different places that give you a better understanding and an education in this area. You know, what about the employees? Promise regarding email and other workplace privacy issues, are they legally binding? You know, there's a lot of different things, and a lot of things are up to interpretation. And the lawyer that sits over your court, understand that you do have rights, I guess is the main thing. A lot of us are under the perception that we do not have rights. A lot of us are under the perception that our companies are always going to win. And that's not the case. And when you decide that you want to fight something like this, you need to understand that I'm not advocating that the company is bad or that you're bad. What I'm saying is that unfortunately we have a few bad apples that do some things, and those things kind of put us all in a bad place. Why? Because the company is trying to protect itself, and in some cases it's trying to protect us. But understand that you can get the Privacy Survival Kit, which is taking control of your private information, and this is inside your job, outside your job. You can look at the privacy basis and opting out strategies. You can look at the wireless communication policy and voicemail and data privacy. You can look up at the hang-up and harassment policies. You can look at privacy for age, you know, the age discrimination stuff, you know, how to put an end to unwanted harassments on the phone, junk mail, shining light stuff. You know, you got a lot of people now that are being violated by items like silent whistle. silent whistle is something that's brought in by the company, and the company plans to use it so that it can help to protect itself and protect its employees. Well, you have employees that take a silent whistle, and they take it to the next level because they take it to a next level unnecessarily because of they're trying to get back at somebody, or they feel as though somebody's singling them out, or they feel as though somebody is prejudiced against them. And that's not true. And most companies are not truly geared to handle these matters. Most companies, in my opinion, do not have an independent board that is not attached to the company to look at the incident and look at it fairly and in the right way. Most of the people that are going to review your stuff are what? They're not your peers. They're your supervisors, your managers, and your executives in your company. Well, your executives and those people in your company cannot look at an incident objectively. Why can they not? They can't because they have a stake in the company. In a lot of cases, they have all their baskets in that. They have all their eggs in that basket. So can they be objective when they look at something where a person is implicated? Also, do they do that job? Do they understand the nuances? Are they dealing with the individuals in which are making these allegations? You have a lot of people that are what I call liners. What is a liner? A liner is a person that comes to the edge but never crosses it. And some of these people are your number one problems when it comes to you having problems on your job or you having problems with individuals. Plus that people will be people. Most people don't accept the good first. They accept the bad first, and they look for the bad, and they look for reasons to remove themselves from blame, even though they may be the number one people at fault. Again, there are a number of different areas that we can touch on. My best suggestion to most people is to go out there and look for yourself, is to also try to do the right thing as you deal with things. You have the Supreme Court's affirmed rights of information and privacy. That's a hot topic right now that's in the news, and it talks about Privacy Act and safeguarding deficiency of NASA records, and it talks about different lawsuits by the Supreme Court for violations of privacy. And this is a workforce case. You got labor relations and board file complaints against companies over Facebook postings. You got the Supreme Court hearings and arguments of NASA's privacy cases. You got the New Jersey Supreme Court's favoring employee privacy policies. There's a lot of different things. You got the Supreme Court hearing on workplace privacy and rules of safeguarding for text messaging. You've got company settlements on cases filed for, again, tied to Facebook, and your employee monitoring Facebook and using Facebook against you because of posts that you may have put. You've got labor relations board complaints against companies over a number of different things. Again, employee privacy is one of the big ones. All right, you've got court hearings over workplace privacy for safeguards of snooping, employees violating people's emails. You've got people suing because of the fact that, like I said, there's cameras in the bathrooms, cameras in the changing rooms, and employees are not aware of it. Again, even if they are aware of it, you're still possibly violating their privacy. Workers of the world are exposed to many types of privacy invasions and monitoring while living and while working in their particular jobs. These include drug testing. These include closed-circuit TV, internet monitoring, filtering, email monitoring, instant message monitoring, phone monitoring, location monitoring, privacy, physical and psychological testing, keystroke log monitoring. Employers do this because they have an interest in protecting themselves and supposedly to reduce the risk of security risks, harassments, sexual harassments, and discriminations, but also understand that, again, from what I'm reading, a lot of places are not equipped. Now, what I'm reading is by experts in the area of privacy and security. Most of your companies are not experts in the areas of privacy and security. They may be experts in their genre, in whatever it is that they're doing, but they're not experts in the sense of security, physical security, electronic security. Most places are just trying to keep up. Technology and all of these things are moving too fast. The laws are changing too much. There's too many cases and there's too many incidents where companies, again, are abusing people and people are losing their jobs, being forced terminated. There are international cases. You have international labor organizations and codes and standards for rights of workplace. there is just so much information. Covers both, again, the public and the private sector of employees. You've got employees that should be given notice of data collection processes. You've got data that should be collected and used for lawfully and fairly, and sometimes that's not happening. You also have people involved. Anytime that you have people involved, what are you doing? Excuse me. Anytime that you have people involved, what are you doing? You're dealing with somebody else's perception. Is their perception always right? Are they being fair and consistent? They may believe that they're being fair and consistent in their minds, but in their actions, it may say something totally different. Should they have access to your data, privacy journals, principles and restrictions for surveillance in the workplace, the U.S.'s approaches to legislation and protection? There are a number of different things out there. You have in 1977 the Privacy Protection Study Commission, the PPSC. You know, they did a thing out there, and that's what ended up coming into the 19, and that was usually part of the Act of 1974, which added, they have Security Communications Act, which was 1986. You have the Storage of Communication Act. You have National Labor Act. But again, there are a series of different places where you can go for help. All I'm telling you is, especially with the smartphone thing, all I'm telling you is that, ladies and gentlemen, you need to guard your privacy. You need to protect your rights, and you need to have at least an idea of what you can and can't do and what you do and do not have to tolerate. And you need to hold your particular individual company to the fire. You need to make sure that they understand Fourth Amendment rights, that they are not going to do certain things to you that basically are against the law. You know, again, there's a number of agencies out there. You can go to the American Management Association. They did a survey on major employers, you know, to determine some stuff. You know, and we're talking about stuff like tracking you via your GPS, you know, if you have a company-owned phone. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, there are just so many different documents and so many different points of things. You can go workplace privacy. You have the National Work Rights Institute. You've got the Institute of Labor Organizations. You've got the ILO Workers Privacy Page. You've got Enrichment of Employment Relations. There's a number of different places. Anyway, I hope that this show has been informative and helpful to other people. Please do what you can do to protect yourself, protect your family, and protect your rights. Your livelihood is on the line, also your privacy. Don't give up something that people died for you to have for the all-bottom dollar. Protect yourself, know your rights, and do what you need to do. Obey the laws and do everything that you can do to help your companies grow, develop, and to mature and get everything that they want to have and help you. But also protect yourself. With that said, this is Zurian, and we are going to sign off. I hope that this information was useful. You have rights. Don't let anybody take them away from you, and don't let them be violated. Thank you very much, and have a great and wonderful day.